the language that called a joint sponsor's I-864 sufficient proof of eligibility before was deleted and replaced with positive factor. So the co-sponsor's I-864 is no longer sufficient proof that someone is in fact admissible. It is now just a positive factor. Officers are encouraged to evaluate whether the sponsor is actually likely to support the applicant. So you may have seen this. We've seen this a lot. We're getting inquiries from Ciudad Juarez about a co-sponsor's credibility and whether there's actually a relationship between the co-sponsor and the applicant. And why would this person who has signed this legally binding document actually comply with it? The totality of the circumstances test now requires consideration of an applicant's employability. So again, older applicants are really struggling. And receipt by the applicant or any family member of any form of public assistance is considered a heavily weighted negative factor under the FAM at this time. So as I've said, the practical effects of this are that we've seen it be much harder for parents of U.S. citizens to get immigrant visas, harder for homemakers with no work history, applicants with approved I-601As who are found to be inadmissible on public charge grounds are having their provisional waivers revoked at Ciudad Juarez. Then they're having to reapply for a waiver of inadmissibility for the unlawful presence that had previously been provisionally waived, as well as anything else that may have come up in the interviews. Ciudad Juarez is much more eager to find fraud and misrepresentation these days, particularly for people who entered on visas. So what we've also seen is that agencies are not really clear. The USCIS decisions, I saw another practitioner's denial of an I-601 waiver for someone whose provisional waiver had been revoked. So the applicant went to Ciudad Juarez with their provisional waiver intact. They were revoked because they were found to have committed misrepresentation in the early 1990s when they entered on a non-immigrant visa, but then overstayed and remained in the United States. So there's no statute of limitations, as we know, on these kinds of immigration violations. So even though it happened almost 30 years ago, this person was required to do a waiver outside the United States. Their I-601A was revoked because of the misrepresentation as well as public charge. And the denial, their I-601 was then subsequently denied as well. And the denial letter for the I-601 indicated that they were being denied because they had committed misrepresentation. They had not established extreme hardship, they had overstayed their visa, they had unlawful presence, and they had not overcome the public charge. And so it was not clear whether USCIS thought they were supposed to be adjudicating the public charge question in the waiver, or why. I'm not entirely clear why they chose to include that in the decision, but I think it's something for us to be aware of, that as we're making a case for our clients in the waivers that our client and their family are suffering from extreme financial hardship as the result of the separation or potential relocation, that can backfire on us in terms of the public charge findings. So it is a really delicate dance that we're having to do now to try to show financial stress without subjecting them to a finding that they're going to be a public charge. So I would like to know, I would love to hear from others here what you're seeing, and importantly, what are you doing? What ideas do we have? What strategies and tactics can we share with respect to this issue? Just a show of hands, has anyone else been seeing an increase in public charge denials at Ciudad Juarez? Just one? Just Jody? Two? Three? Yeah? Okay. So one thing that we have tried in the office and with some success is preparing an affidavit of support packet that looks kind of more like a waiver packet. Compelling letters of support, if not affidavits of support, at least letters of support indicating that there is a community of people available to support the family, to support the applicant, et cetera. And so that is something that hasn't yet worked in 100% of the cases, but it's definitely a tactic that we've employed and that we will continue to work on. The good thing with this particular ground of inadmissibility is that it doesn't subject the applicant to termination of their case under 203G. And so as long as the case remains open, they can continue to submit additional documentation to show that they, you know, how they can overcome public charge. So we have submitted potential employer letters for some individuals indicating that they could have at least a part-time job when they come into the United States. We've submitted, I would like to be able to get insurance for people who live outside the United States, health insurance, but we haven't been able to figure that out yet. Does anyone have an insurance company that health insurance that's not Obamacare that can insure people who've never been in the United States? if so, I would love to share that information. And if you have does anyone have any stories or strategies or tactics to share with the rest of us? I would love to hear from you guys.